I understand.
Good. You better. A moment passes. I'm not kidding.
I know.
Jack says it with a resigned sigh. If people who didn't know them heard this conversation, they might think they were having an argument. They're not. This kind of banter is the way they talk to each other sometimes. They actually get on really well. She gets the joke and is super cool for somebody so old. Jack looks out the window at the West Australian coastline. It's barren and rocky, and the ocean beyond is such a vivid blue that it makes his eyes tingle. The same way his taste buds used to go crazy after he ate those sweet and sour lollies when he was a kid. He's not a kid anymore. He used to be kind of a shrimp when he was 13, then suddenly shot up like a beanstalk the day he hit the big 1-4. Now he's pushing 6'1", which he thinks is excellent because he's the tallest kid at school. Or was the tallest kid at his old school. He has no idea how his height will measure up at the new one. They drive on for another hour until the Falcon motors past a sign that reads, Busselton. Jack googled the place when his mum told him they'd be moving here from Sydney. He knows it's a small town on the coast of Western Australia, population 15,386, give or take, and that Busselton is famous for a few things: beaches with golden sands that stretch as far as the eye can see, the underwater observatory at the end of the jetty where you can look at the colourful little fishies through a glass partition, and the jetty itself, a long, bent finger of wood that pokes out into the Indian Ocean for almost 2 kilometres. These attractions are of no particular interest to Jack E. Hooper. The E is for Ernest, his granddad's name on his mother's side. It's not that he dislikes Busselton. He's never been there before, and so he has no feeling about the place, one way or the other. What annoys him is that coming to live here means he had to leave behind his life in Sydney. The Falcon turns into a green and leafy suburban street, with homes that are all very nice and neat, most of them single-story. There's no traffic to speak of, so Christy slows the car to a walking pace as they study the house numbers to find the place they rented. Jack can see how excited his mum is. Not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one. This one. Oh, good Lord. Jack watches as the excitement drains from her face to be replaced with an expression of horror. Not only is it the smallest house on the street, but it's desperately run down with boarded up windows and lots of peeling paint. There's a rented sign in the overgrown front garden that is also home to the rusted shell of an old Holden Kingswood. It's getting closer, but it isn't getting nicer. Christy looks dumbstruck as the Falcon turns into the driveway, then pulls up in front of the house. This is not what it looked like on the internet. They step out of the station wagon, and Jack takes it in. I don't remember it being this sausage colour. The house is painted a kind of grey-brown, which is so terrible that you can't imagine why anyone would have created the colour in the first place. Christy pulls open the front gate, and it immediately drops off its hinges. She just manages to catch it before it lands on her foot. Oh, man, it's a complete dump. Her expression of horror turns to one of distress. I'm flabbergasted. Flabbergasted. It's not a word Jack's a big fan of. It felt made up, like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious from the Mary Poppins movie. So he never used it, but his mum loved it and said it all the time. Now, as flabbergasted as she was about the house, Jack decides to be upbeat. If he's negative, he knows that'll just make her feel worse. It's not that bad. We can fix it. He pulls out the house keys and moves to the front door to unlock it. The moment he touches the door, it falls into the house with a resounding whump. He stares at the door for a second, then turns to his mother. We should probably start with that. They look at each other and burst out laughing at the absurdity of it. Then slowly, Christy's laugh becomes a sob. Jack gives her a big hug. Even if she did make him leave all he knows back in Sydney to move to this weird old house on the other side of the country, he still hates to see his mum upset. It takes Jack 10 minutes to reattach the front door to its frame with a screwdriver from his father's rusty toolbox. As he tests that it works properly, Christy wheels his bike out of the trailer and parks it on the front porch. She takes in the repaired door, and he can tell it makes her feel better. Nice one. You've got the job. Now can you nip down to that servo we passed on the way in and pick up some milk and bread? Jack nods as Christy's phone rings. She checks the screen. Gotta take this,